Hey, welcome back to What Would Father Say with Father John Cazaldo. Appreciate everybody tuning in. And a quick reminder that if you have to jump away and you miss part of this week's show, you can always catch it again on Sunday afternoon at 12 o'clock. Father, thanks for coming back and joining us here.
My pleasure. I like these things. I do.
Yeah, we want to pick back up now. Last week we talked about, Lent and what it means and all that stuff, and hope that was a nice break and instructional for everyone. But this week we want to jump back into our catechism and back into the
Yeah.
Ten Commandments. So we're going to pick back up here with commandment number four. And for those of y'all that are following along in your catechism, we are in I guess chapter two of the commandments, or the second half, and you'll have to explain a little bit of how this division
This it's
works out.
interesting because this is
Yeah.
part three,
Yeah.
chapter two, fourth command, article four.
Yeah, there you go. Two, three, four.
And if you want me to explain how that is, I don't think I can because I'm confused. I was
We're on
confused.
page 530,
That's right.
or more easily, paragraph 2196 is. So
Yeah,
really,
yeah.
what I was getting at is the part about how the first three commandments are love of God, and then the rest of them,
The
the
rest of them, yeah.
are love of neighbor, as the
Correct, yeah.
catechism. Can you kind of explain what that means to us a little bit?
Well, if you get, I think, and for me, for me, it doesn't mean that there are three or more important, that they're foundational.
Okay.
If we can love God, devote ourselves to God and His commandments about what we do with our bodies, and what we do with our mouths, what we do on Sunday, the other seven should just follow. Even today the mass was about, hey, you do all these fasting and praying, but you still treat each other like garbage.
Yeah.
What are you doing? And if we're still treating each other, lying, fornicating, stealing, envying, we're sure as heck not getting the first three right. It reminds us though too that sometimes as Catholics there's a tension here. Whether like sacraments, are they rewards for conversion or sources of conversion? That's why we baptize babies. But we know that we can receive sacraments in vain. I know I've married people and confirmed people who never saw them again. That's why we catechize them too, hopefully inspire them and evangelize them. And then there's a life-changing sacrament too. So for the people of God, the Decalogue was only 10 rules. Hey, I just got 10, but if you just get three of them right, the rest of them will be fine. Yeah.
Four, commandment number four,
Okay.
right out of our catechism here. Well, I'll just let you kick it off here.
Yeah. All right, so Article 4, the fourth commandment, as this comes from Exodus 20 and Deuteronomy 5, honor your father and mother, that your days may be long in the land which the Lord God gives you. So, and also, and it's kind of in Luke 2, and it reminds us that Jesus was obedient to his parents. So, what role do parents play? But more, this one's actually what role do family and children have to each other? It doesn't say honor your children. It doesn't say that. It says to honor your parents. So first off, I would say remind us of the family unit is the primary teachers of the faith of the parents, and that this and the home is meant to be a domestic church. And a domestic place of conversion that we learn to love, we learn to forgive, we learn compassion, all in the home. And it assumes that mom and dad are made vows to each other and are in a covenant relationship, because that's the foundation of any family, and the family is the foundation of any society. And if mom and dad have not made vows to each other, It's like a car with two flat tires.
Yeah.
Oftentimes, I tell kids, or teens especially, they're struggling with certain sins, struggling with coming to church, struggling with prayer. I ask them about their parents and if their parents are split up and they live with mom and her boyfriend. I remind them that their culpability has been lessened, they have to work harder, and that they're victims of a failed marriage and a broken family. But even so, the Lord says that to honor them, and what does that look like? Well, that kind of unpacks the rest of them, the duties towards parents. But even before we get to that, I think it's interesting what, well, let's just talk about duties towards parents.
Okay.
Actually, I think the best place for this is actually the Old Testament. In the book of Sirach, sometimes called Wisdom of Ben Sira, depending on, and it's only in the Catholic Bible, it's not in the Protestant Bible. I have a little story about this, but chapter 3 of Sirach has all of this responsibilities to parents. Children, listen to me, your father, act accordingly that you may be safe. It goes on and on. The Lord sets a father over his children, conforms mother over to her sons. But we skip down to verse 12. This is my favorite. My son, be steadfast in honoring your father. Do not grieve him as long as he lives. And then this is kind of talking to older children. Verse 13. Even if his mind fails, be considerate of him. Do not revile him because you are in your prime. Kindness to a father will not be forgotten. It will serve as a sin offering. It will take lasting root. So right there, even, this is written 3,000 years ago, people in their prime, danger of disrespecting their parents. These are the people who brought you in the world. And as the catechism says, it says they gave you life and you cannot repay this. I'm skipping ahead a little bit to
Yeah.
paragraph 2215. Remember that through your parents you were born. What can you give back to them that equals their gift to you? How about nothing?
Yeah.
How about
The
nothing?
gift of life.
The gift of life, we didn't that you didn't ask to come into the world. You were half of your mom and half of your dad. Having said that, if they did their due diligence, and the child has a, I would argue that a child has a right to his parents or her parents, has a right to them. And that parents are obliged to sacrifice for their children. But that doesn't always happen. So let's skip down to verse 14.
Yeah.
I already skipped that. Let's see here. Kindness to a father will not be forgotten. It will serve as a sin offering. It will be take lasting root. In time of trouble, it will be recalled to your advantage. Like warmth upon frost, it will melt away your sins. Oh, very Catholic that honoring your father gets rid of sins too, mother. Those who neglect their father are like blasphemers. Those who provoke their mother are cursed by the Creator. Oh my goodness. So,
That's pretty clear to, instructions right there. So you
And it
mentioned
also,
that. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Go ahead.
no, it also recognizes that your parents will go crazy when they're older. They just will. There's already dementia and Alzheimer's, even back then and even now. But even if his mind fails, I'm 55, you're a bit older than me. I'm already starting to get senile. I mean, I can already tell. And to tell my grand, now I don't have any grandchildren or children, but I tell my nieces and nephews, you will change my diapers. Just like I changed yours. It wasn't too often. Their parents did it mostly. But it's even comes with a curse. If you reject this, You're worse than a blasphemer. Oh my goodness. So yeah, you were gonna say something, and then I'll move
So
on.
I would just, you mentioned the duties of other parents are obligated, to care for their children. So do I as a son and you as a son have an obligation to be for my entire life to be to obey my parents?
Well, it doesn't say obey.
Okay.
It says to honor them. It says to honor them. And what does that look like? It covers that in another place too. Because to as much as you're as much as you're able, you're supposed to honor them. But let me go to the other side of this. Even obedience. Over obedience to the point where you're rejecting God. This happens in some crime families. They'll say, Johnny, family is the most important thing. Family is the most important thing. And how often do people give up their faith because families become too important? And so let's look at paragraph 2232. 2232, family ties are important, but what?
Not
Not
absolute.
absolute. Just as a child grows in maturity and human and spiritual autonomy, so his unique vocation, which comes from God, asserts itself more clearly and forcefully. Parents should respect this call and encourage their children to follow it. They must be convinced that the first vocation of their children is to follow Jesus. That's first. And then he even doubles down. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And how often do, especially older people, I don't want to cause any problems, or I'm not going to do this because my dad will get, I remember a priest in Waco who was at the student center. He's gone now. We had Baptist kids, even Protestant kids coming to church. Wanted to convert, but they were like, no, my mom would get upset, and I know God's calling me to this, but and they would say, you're an adult now, and Jesus says, if you love your mother and father more than me, you're not worthy of me. Wow. And how often even parents, good Catholic parents, will say, well, we didn't go to Mass this Sunday because we had select softball.
Johnny had a game.
Johnny had a game. We had a birthday party to go to, and we don't want them to get upset. I know priests that their family members will say, well, my nephew, our nephew, your nephew or the priest's nephew wants to get married at a bowling alley. Would you be okay in doing that? And they're like, no, I ain't doing that. Well, he's going to get upset with you. He's going to be upset. I don't care.
So be it.
Another priest once, I've said this, priests have to get used to saying this, even to my own congregation. I love all of you very much, but I'm not going to hell for none of you. I'm not going to hell for none of you. Because God comes before even you. And even in the family, the children are important, but not more important than your spouse. And parents aren't, and your spouse is important, but not more important than your relationship with God. Not too long ago, I had a man who had recently become Catholic. His wife was Catholic, but he, converts tend to be pretty excited about their faith, but his Catholic wife was not. And so he wasn't going to church at Mass very much. And I asked him, why not? Well, my wife doesn't want to really go. And, I don't want to go by myself. Really? Really? So she's running the family now. You're telling Jesus, I'm gonna choose my wife over even you. So we put this all in order. All these things are important, but not to the point of sin. Not to the point of sin. And usually that happens around marriages. Usually that happens around marriages. Someone might say, my dad is gay and getting married to his gay lover. Can I go to the wedding? Well, what? Well, how's that going to work out? Well, he's my
Yeah.
dad. I understand. I understand. But are you going to go there and affirm this? Well, I love him. Okay, what do you mean by that? What do you mean by what's best for him? And that's in all other things too. So, do you have any comments or questions? Because I got a few other things I'd love to go over.
We'll come right back here. So, folks, if you're just now tuning in, this is What Would Father Say with Father John Gisaldo, and we're just introducing the fourth commandment here. Honor your father and mother. And I think the second half of that commandment often gets lost, right? Because there's a little covenant break in there that your days may be long in the land which the Lord your God gives you. And I think that
Become.
sometimes we forget that there's covenantal language in that responsibility to honor our parents.
And it says in Deuteronomy 7, Ephesians 6, that it may be well for you and that you may live long on the earth. Wow. And what's it saying? Family is meant to be together. Parents and children with parents. That's the ideal we shoot for, and that governments should encourage. They should encourage that. And if they're
Not
not,
getting
they're
in the way of.
not get and usurp them, and usurp them. They're in Portland, Oregon, and Washington. They were going to make it illegal for people to homeschool their kids. And some places in Germany that was happening. So you look in 2207, the family is the original social cell. And then stepping back even more, 2206, the relationship within a family bring an affinity of feelings, affections, interests arising above all from the members' respect for one another. The family is a privileged community called to achieve sharing thought and common deliberation by the spouse, as well as the equal cooperation of parents and their children upbringing. So it is a privileged community. Even law says this, like a spousal privilege, and that we can't do things here without a parent privilege. And even if you go to a Mexican restaurant, there's laws about that, 17 and 18 year olds can't order alcohol unless they're with their parents. Unless they're with their parents and they can order that for them. Why? It recognizes, no, this cell is privileged, is privileged community. And government knows that, because when it is privileged, the government and the society works well. It works well. The family is the original cell of social life. So if we go down a little bit more, there's so much here, my goodness. Paragraph 2209, the family must be helped and defended by appropriate social measures. Where families cannot fulfill their responsibilities, other social bodies have the duty of helping them and supporting the institution of the family. This is where we get things like foster parents. The best you can, it's tough. Following this principle of subsidiarity, larger communities should take care not to usurp the family's prerogatives or interfere in its life. Wow. Let's read that again. Larger communities should take care not to usurp the family's prerogatives and interfere in its life. And so we see this happening even here in Central Texas, that kids can self-identify as under genders. In some states, they'll take you, in like California, if a 12-year-old says he's a girl, they can actually take them away and castrate them. And so I don't know if you're familiar with Courage and Encourage. We have some families here that are part of Encourage. That's a families of people who have children who are same-sex attracted, genders, all that kind of LGBTQ, the alphabet.
The dysphoria.
But if a teenager can order, a teenage girl can order online from the Kind Clinic in Austin testosterone and have it shipped to their house and her give herself injections. And there's nothing the parents can do about it. They can't even, it's like, wait a minute, no. And so we get to the paragraph 22:10 is about halfway through. Civil authorities should consider it a grave duty to acknowledge the nature of marriage and family, to protect and foster them, to safeguard public morality, and promote domestic prosperity. But they're not allowed to usurp it. So, I used to call these schools public schools. Now they're government schools. The government school is a mandate. Now, I was actually in high school. They had sex education, and my parents wouldn't sign off, and so I had to sit in a library. That's one of the best times I ever had, to sit in a library. I got to read a few books. I actually sat and read a biography of John the 23rd. And even though I was in high school, it didn't bother me at all, and I had to get permission to do it. But I remember being in seventh grade. This happened in seventh grade. We had a Catholic vice principal who was showing the kids, I remember this, how to put on a condom. This was in 1981. They had a video, and they were showing us how to put it on. And now I think back, is how the hell did that happen? How the hell did that happen? But they did it. They did it.
It's really kind of incredible, and in a tough position for parents and children, in 2025 here, and with all of the nonsense, even in a state like Texas, where we're blessed to have relatively conservative leadership, there's still parts and parcels, as you mentioned, the great city to our south, that where the alphabet soup personalities
Alphabet
will
Mafia.
just really have the audacity to presuppose that they are better at raising children than parents. And that just to me has always been very baffling, how public figures could come up with that idea.
And they often have, rainbow hair, live with their lesbian partner, and have no children. In Austin, we call them dinks. You know what a dink is?
No.
Ever heard of that? That Austin's full of dinks,
Oh,
double income,
dual income.
no kids.
Dual income, no kids.
And they're exterminating themselves right out of existence. But they don't mind. They think sometimes, less children are better. It is amazing. It is a lie of the devil, that says, oh, you already have two, you better not have more. How many women have now reached in their 30s and hit a wall and said, oh my gosh,
Wish I had more kids.
just had kids. I wish I had kids. Wish I had kids. They saw kids as a burden. But when they're 50 and 60 and sitting alone in some community thinking they lived it up, instead of seeing children as a gift, as people, as a gift that they were. And they're taking care of their parents now, wondering who's going to take care of them. How about nobody? How about nobody? But there is some hope out there, I think. A lot of energy amongst the young church now that I've seen myself. In the past, ever since 2000 and 2002, the church has been in steady decline. But that decline has leveled off a little bit. And it's kind of the what I would call the boomer generation of Catholics who grew up, came to faith in the 1973, when they started building churches that looked like Methodist churches and moved the tabernacle to the other side and sat up front and had all these strange music and Father so-and-so with a beard and who was a social justice warrior. That's kind of seen its day now. Yes, it's moved on. Now we celebrate big families.
That's they're going to be the source of our renewal, the rejuvenation of the church,
So can I tell you a story?
Yeah, we got a couple
I
minutes
when
here,
I was when I was in a Hispanic church in South Austin, it was during Mother's Day. Now we're really not supposed to do this, but I saw a priest do this once. On Mother's Day, he was calling the women up a little bit at a time, giving them a flower and then a blessing. But the first thing he did was he said, "All the mothers who are here who have 10 or more children, come on up." And then two or three women came up and everybody clapped, you know. Anybody with 9 children, two or three children came up. Everybody with 8 children, you see where I'm going with this. And slowly, as he got lower, more and more women came up. But those first couple, I saw this at a Spanish mass. So when I became a priest, in my first parish at Mother's Day, I did that. I said, but my first mass on that day, it was in May. We had flowers. And I said, all the ladies with 10 or more children, come on up. And sure enough, two or three moms came up and everybody clapped. And anybody with 9 children, 8 children, you know, just like that. And then the next mass, the English mass with all the boomers, I said, okay, anybody with 10 or more children, come on up.
Nothing.
Laughter. Absolute laughter.
Wow.
Now, there was a woman out there with 10 children and she sat back down. She came
She
back to
was
the sacristy.
embarrassed.
She was embarrassed. They were just laughing. So shame on y'all. And then it died down. And then I said, are anybody here with 9 children? And a woman stood up and started coming. She clapped. Everybody clapped. 8. We went right down. But the woman who had 10, she came to the sacristy afterwards. I said, she goes, Father, I didn't get my flower. I have 10 children. I said, why didn't you come up? She goes, because everybody was laughing. Oh, man, I let them have it. I said,
That's
shame. No
sad.
wonder. I said, shame on y'all. At the Spanish Mass, we had three or four women. Nobody laughed. Welcome. Yeah. So maybe in seeing children as a burden, now those children see their parents
As a burden.
as a burden. This is what you did.
Hey folks, so
Oh,
we're gonna
my
have to
goodness.
save the rest of the commandment. We're running out of time, Father. I know it's like this goes so quick. There's a lot to unpack here, and so we'll have to save the rest of the fourth commandment for next week's show. Again, folks, if you missed some or all of this, or you just want to come back and listen to it again, maybe you're driving and you don't have your catechism in front of you. You can always tune in on Sunday afternoons at 12:30 for the rebroadcast of What Would Father Say? We'll be back next week. We'll close out the fourth commandment, and appreciate everybody tuning in. And remember to put on the armor of God.